1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation or a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 2 Corinthians 11, please. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Twice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, and so on. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And last of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing against myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man receive praise of God. Trust the Lord will bless to each one of us his own precious word. If I had a title that I want to speak on this afternoon, it would be "For the Gospel's Sake." For the Gospel's Sake. We turn back to Isaiah chapter 6, and the call goes up, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And quickly Isaiah responds, "Here am I, send me." I wonder if there's such a response from each of our hearts. But when you come to the story of the demon-possessed man out of whom the Lord cast all those demons, he desired that he might be with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, "Go home and tell thy friends what good the Lord has done for thee." Part of the reason for my exercise is the word that we had from Brother Bentley last night. And I'm certainly with him in seeking to encourage young people to be exercised about the work of the Lord in whatever sphere the Lord might have in view for them. But I believe that the first place to prove ourselves is at home. Go home and tell thy friend. And if there is a young person here that has an interest and an exercise for the service of Christ in the gospel in some foreign land, praise the Lord for that. But remember, go home and tell thy friends what good things the Lord hath done for thee. I want to speak about a particular family. You all know the family, but I just want to reacquaint you with it. It's a family with the surname of Ability. And so I want to speak about the family of Ability. And the first member of the family I want to speak about, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's the word responsibility. Responsibility. You'll notice that Paul says in verse 16, "Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Responsibility. Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Do you remember too in Acts chapter 9 when Saul of Tarsus came to realize that that voice that he heard from heaven was that of the ascended Christ? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And so right from the commencement of his Christian experience, there was an exercise on his part to spread the gospel. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But it starts in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus says, in Luke chapter 24, "Thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You start where you are. I remember hearing about a young man who had an exercise to serve the Lord in the gospel in some far distant land. And he went to college in order to further his education. And while he was in college in a town away from home, he shared lodgings with an unsaved man. And all the while that he shared the lodgings, there was never any conversation about the gospel. And when he had graduated and was about to leave, this unsaved companion said to him, "I wish you had told me about Christ." You know, sometimes all we think about is faceless people. Someone somewhere else that needs the gospel. There are people right on our own doorstep that need the gospel. And the Lord would send you, and the Lord would send me to spread the gospel. The second member of the family I want to speak about is availability. Availability. We've already quoted from Acts chapter 9 the words of Saul on conversion's day. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, he didn't set conditions. He didn't say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you, but I'm not prepared to go there. Or I'm not prepared to do this job. It was just, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Isaiah, before he knew what the commission involved, said, here am I, send me. So when we come to verse 17 of Acts of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. He said, I'm responsible to do it anyway, and I'm going to be held accountable for doing it, so I just as well do it willingly. Is there a willing heart in the part of each one of us here? Well, it's nice to come to conferences and to mingle with the Christians. It's nice to sing the hymns. It's nice to gather week by week with the Lord's people. But outside of these walls is a real world. A real world for which you and I are responsible to make sure they hear the gospel. Is there that willingness on your part and mine? That yearning to fulfill our obligations in seeking to speak to others? You ever spoken to your neighbor? Person that lives across the street? I remember a brother who lived in South Wales. An older man, I think he was in his 50s. But I'm in my 50s now too. But actually he died in his 50s. But the day he died, that very morning, he was witnessing to his neighbor across the garden fence. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to go? Witnessing to someone else about what Christ has done for you. Availability. I want us to think, please, about another member of the family. We'll call him durability. You'll notice, please. No, I'm sorry, I've left one out. The next one I want us to think about is adaptability. Adaptability. You'll notice that Paul says unto the Jews, became I as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under law, as under law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. And then he says, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Of course, it takes a great deal of wisdom to know how far we can really go with this. There are certain things that characterize the world outside that you and I can't adapt to. But where we can adapt for the sake of the gospel, we ought to adapt. One classic example that comes to my mind is Hudson Taylor. It was always the way in missionary endeavors that the missionaries all lived together in a community. And they always wore Western dress. And they were on the mission field what they were at home. But at 21 years of age, Hudson Taylor went out to China and saw the situation. And he left it all behind, went into inland China, wore the garb of the Chinese, became as Chinese as he could possibly be in order to win men and women for Christ. I remember a book I read as a young Christian. It was called Finding Men for Christ. And it was about a man who worked amongst the down and outs. What did he do? When he went out into the streets, he became in appearance like them to reach them for Christ. Now you may quarrel with me on that one. I'm not saying we should get rid of our suits. I certainly believe they have their place in assembly gatherings. But I believe that when we're trying to witness to people on a one-to-one level, we need to get rid of the expensive suits and be a little bit more ordinary in order that we might get into conversation with men and women. Adaptability. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Have you ever asked the Lord the question, Lord, what can I do to be able to get closer to people that I might be able to win them for Christ? Adaptability. Then at the close of 1 Corinthians 9, we have dependability. Dependability. You'll notice he uses the illustration of the runner in the race. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the masteries is self-controlled in all things. And then he says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, and so on. Paul was involved in serious business. Do you notice that every time the figure of running the race is used in the New Testament, it is always the idea of the marathon? It's never a sprint. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christian life were just like a sprint? It was over with in no time. It's easy to enter upon something. It's far harder to go through with it. And Paul, on the day of his conversion, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he went through with it. Dependability. Oh, we can come across all sorts of brethren with good ideas about what to do. And sometimes they'll get started at doing it. But seeing it through to an accomplished end, is a harder thing. Oh, that there might be an exercise on the part of some younger brethren here. Don't say young, but younger brethren. To do a work for God in the gospel where you live. And not just start it, but go through with it. I remember in South Wales where I was first brought into assembly fellowship. First assembly I was in, I encouraged them to start going out in the open air. And for a little while, there was a little band of us having an open-air meeting. Eventually, it got down to just myself and three young brethren. They were teenagers. Went up to the next town, to the next assembly, and they didn't have an open-air meeting. They didn't have a prayer meeting before the gospel meeting, so we started a prayer meeting before the gospel meeting. It wasn't long before the only ones there most of the time were my wife and I. We started an open-air meeting, and for a couple of weeks, most of them were there. One of the last times I can remember seeing them, brother said to me, we could hear your voice right down the end of the street. It's a lot of encouragement, isn't it? Dependability. A willingness to stick with it. You know, I give all credit to these brethren involved in the preaching of the gospel down in Gastown. Certainly as long as I've been around here, they've been doing it. And they're still doing it. Oh, that there might be that exercise on the part of each one of us to get involved in some effort in the gospel and stick with it. Dependability. When we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there we have the idea of durability. Paul speaks about the circumstances that he was passing through. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, says once, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, and on and on and on he goes. And this was in his service for Christ. I remember we were going to have gospel meetings somewhere, and a band of us went out to knock on doors and invite people, and because some of these brethren had never done it before, we went in pairs, and this brother was with me, and the first 2 houses, he was really enthusiastic, because we had a good reception. Then we came to the 3rd house, and the man was very sarcastic. And all of a sudden, knocking on doors became outmoded. Something that belonged to a past generation. Listen, if you're going to serve Christ in the gospel, sure you're going to come across obstacles. Sure there are going to be people that would persecute you. Mind you, we have it far, far easier than they have it in some other parts of the world. Even back east, they've had far more difficulties than has been experienced around here for many, many years. Paul says to the Philippians, and to you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's given as a gift. That's what the word means, to give. It's given to you as a free gift. Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Ever thought about suffering for Christ's sake as a gift? It's one of the last things we want to experience. But it's spoken of here as a gift. You'll notice, please, that the theme of the 1 Corinthian epistle is the Church of God. The theme of the 2nd epistle is the man of God. And you'll notice in the 2nd epistle to the Corinthians, 4 times over, Paul speaks about his trials. Chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 11, chapter 12. And what we learn from that is that trials are the expected experience of the servant of Christ. Durability. Are you and I prepared to serve Christ? Do we have a desire to reach people in our community? Are we asking the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How shall I go about this business? How can I best reach the people in my own community with the gospel? And are we prepared not only to enter in upon that service, but having commenced that service, go through with it? I'll use another illustration. It doesn't have directly to do with the gospel, but the first assembly I was ever in fellowship in, at one time, there were 8 in the assembly. 1 brother, 7 sisters. And one day, someone from the Salvation Army came along to see if they could purchase the hall. And at the time they came over to the hall, this brother was painting the hall. And when they asked if they could purchase the hall, he said, purchase it? He said, we're just painting it. And he pointed across the railway track to a cinema called the Pavilion. And he said, see the Pavilion over there? He said, they'll close before we close. And they did. That place closed down many, many years ago as a movie house. We use it for other reasons now. But the gospel hall is still there. And there's between 15 and 20 in fellowship there now. And there are two younger brethren that are very capable in the teaching of the word, that speak in conferences all over the country. Because one man dug his heels in. And he decided that he was going to go through with it. He was going to stick with it. Having put his hand to the plow, there was no looking back. Well, that's the way it ought to be in our service for Christ. Don't run away with the idea, if you don't see someone saved in the first week of gospel meetings, then forget all about it and just go back to the comfort of your gospel hall. Stick at it. If necessary, find some other place. Maybe I'll give a blurb for the storefront gospel meetings again. I know there are lots of other ways to do it. But you know, there are people that will not come inside our gospel halls or any other kind of a church building for that matter. And so we have to try and reach them by other ways. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying close down the Sunday night gospel meeting. I'm not for that. I believe that, amongst other things, the Sunday night gospel meeting preserves the purity of our gospel preaching. Because when a brother is preaching in the hall, he's being observed, he's being listened to. And there are those that could criticize his preaching. I mean in a constructive way. So I'm not for closing it down. But neither do I believe that we should take the attitude that that's all we have is the four walls of the gospel hall to preach the gospel from. I remember being in a hall at the end of the gospel meeting. There hadn't been a single unsaved person come into the hall. The brother said, well, they're responsible. We preach the gospel. Since when did the Bible say, go ye into all the world and bring them into the gospel hall? It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And by every legitimate means, you and I should be seeking to reach out for Christ. I remember seeing the title of a book. I should have purchased it. The title of it went like this. Evangelism as a lifestyle. Evangelism as a lifestyle. And I presume the idea that it was that you and I should make witnessing for Christ part of our everyday conversation. What are we doing to try and reach the people of our community? I hear some brethren say, well, there's no scripture for the gospel meeting. Well, there's as much scripture for the gospel meeting as there is for the prayer meeting. Oh, I know that you've got a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 12, but that wasn't a week by week prayer meeting, was it? That was a prayer meeting especially organized because of the circumstances of Peter being in prison. But you and I would use that to give precedence for a prayer meeting, wouldn't we? And we have lots of precedents for a gospel meeting. The problem with our gospel meetings is not that they're outmoded. The problem is that we're not working at getting people in to hear the gospel. But again, we shouldn't be depending solely upon the gospel meeting. And are we prepared to suffer for the sake of the gospel? If you went down to Gastown and tried to witness for Christ, and someone abused you, would that be the end of it? Would you just pack your bags and go back home? Or would you go back again? Durability. Now, 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I've entitled this mobility. Mobility. You know, commandos on a mission must take everything necessary to accomplish that mission, but nothing more. Because if they take more than is necessary to accomplish that mission, it will impede their progress. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Mobility. Being in a position that we can move off at any moment of time in the service for Christ. Are you and I mobile? Or are there so many things that are holding us down to this world? Are we so taken up with the business? Listen, when Christ saved you, he didn't save you in order that you might prosper in business. Now, if you're prospering in your business, God bless you. But don't make that the be-all and end-all of your life. You're not left here to be a businessman. You're left here to be a witness for Christ. Every one of us is to be a witness for Christ. Recently, I had gospel meetings in Port Alberni. You know, I take my hat off to the Christians. They did everything they possibly could to get people out to the gospel meeting. We had lots and lots of young people from two children's works coming night after night to hear the gospel. And do you know, some of these brethren actually bribed the young people to come. One brother said that he would give the children a dilly bar if they came. I don't care about giving dilly bars. If they'll get saved, then give them a dilly bar. The important thing is that they hear the gospel. I remember some years ago a brother saying that when they had gospel meetings out there at Ladner, tent meetings, he told his daughter that if she could get her friends, he would take them to McDonald's and give them a hamburger every night. You see, these are people that are active. These are people that are concerned to reach others. But sometimes we're so taken up with the business, it's just hard enough just to get to the meeting. And some people don't even make it. They've got the business to attend. Dear brother, dear sister, are you a warring Christian? Sometimes we're so far behind the front lines we don't even know there's a war going on. And while the war's going on, we're way back in the distance playing games. When all the while, there are millions upon millions of people out there needing to be saved. I wonder how many are going to be at that meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, interested in giving their time to the service of Christ. Ever thought of spending your holiday in gospel activity? What, your holiday? Your holiday's to have a rest, isn't it? Well, they say a change is as good as a rest. So why don't spend your holiday helping in gospel activity? When I was a young Christian, I never thought of doing anything else. To me, that was the obvious thing to do with your holiday, was to help in gospel work. Some of you younger ones, some of you older ones too, could get involved in gospel work in your holiday. Well, maybe Andrew will notice how many are there tonight. Lastly, I want us to think of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4. Paul says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall each one receive the praise from God. I title this Accountability. Accountability. One of these days, every one of our lives is going to be brought into review. Paul speaks of himself and his fellow workers here as stewards. And every one of us is a steward. What are you doing with the talent that God has given you? What are you doing with your accountability as a witness for Christ? Someone says, oh, but my gift is to teach. Well, Paul was a teacher, but he was a preacher too. And whatever your spiritual gift might be, it doesn't alter the fact that we're all responsible to be witnesses. We may not all make evangelists, but we can all be witnesses. Because one of these days, it's all going to be over. One day will be your last day on earth. Will you start going around telling all your friends then? You probably won't even know it's your last day on earth. Paul knew when he was coming to the end. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Just quickly in closing, I won't elaborate. I want to give four reasons why we should go to these lengths to be witnesses for Christ. Number one, because of the love of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. When you think of what Christ suffered, how we should be making ourselves available. Number two, because of the great deliverance he has given us.